The end of the summer of 2021 was approaching, and Lucy's only child, Molly, was about to leave home to start college. And you'll hear in the song, Lucy writes about the difficulty and the importance of letting go. I'll let her speak about the origin of the song, and then our conversation takes off from there.
That was very, very raw. Emotions that had everything to do with her being about, she was about to leave. That's when this got written. It was last summer, it was probably mid-July. She was going to literally walk out the door August 29th or something. I can't remember the exact date. I hadn't planned to write anything about it. And it just sort of, she's our only child. And this was a moment I had been dreading for literally years. And the idea that it was actually going to happen and so soon was completely overwhelming to me. So it just kind of came out of me. I'd had it on my mind all the time, like, okay, these are our last few weeks kind of as a nuclear family, and then it's over.
On the one hand, it's exactly what you want, to have raised your child so that as you sing, she's unafraid and ready to go. But on the other hand, you want her with you. How do you deal with those warring emotions?
It's this incredibly bittersweet thing about being a parent, because you want them to be healthy and happy, and that partly means leave home and be independent. So you raise them to leave you. You raise them to leave you. And that just seems so ironic and sort of unfair in a way, but it's just the way life is. She knew I was really sad, but I didn't dwell on it. And I didn't say, oh my God, how am I going to survive without you? As a matter of fact, I helped her pack, helped her move into her dorm. I was holding back tears as I did it, but I held back the tears and let her go.
You let her go, as the song says, just down the street and a million miles away. She stayed in the city to go to college. Did anybody tease you?
Oh, yeah. First of all, she literally was four blocks away from us. I think it was a 5-minute walk. When we were walking to her dorm that day to move her in, my husband drove the car with all her stuff and Molly and I walked. This is the neighborhood she grew up in. We got halfway there and she said, wow, this is the walk. Like, this is so short. So when I was saying, oh my God, she's leaving home, I'm so sad. And they asked me where she was going. I mean, people just like laughed in my face, you know, not nice laughter, but like, what are you kidding? And what I didn't realize was that I just kind of thought we would never see her. That was it. My role as a mother was just kind of over. And then, of course, we ended up seeing her all the time because she was four blocks away and she doesn't hate us. So she doesn't need to just get rid of us completely. She actually likes spending time with us. Yes, people made fun of me. And it's actually a laugh line in my shows now. When I introduced this song, you know, how sad I was, but she was only moving four blocks away. It gets this huge laugh because it's so ridiculous. But it's still, to me at the time, and this is what's in the song, it was this huge symbol that this was over. Something, this part of life was over. And that didn't matter if she was four blocks away or 4,000 miles away or whatever. It didn't matter to me.
You wrote the song with your husband, Rick Litvin. Did he have the same sort of anguish at the idea of letting her go, or was that more mom?
No, it was totally more mom. And I've heard this from other mothers that it's different for the dads. I don't know why. And maybe it was partly because he knew she was going to, I mean, he's a professor at NYU in the same department. So they literally are in the same building. So he knew, for one, he was going to run into her. She stopped by his office to get candy from his candy bowl. So it was different for me. And I don't know how to explain that. I don't know why dads don't experience the same way. I just know how I experienced it. And every mother I spoke to said the same thing, that it was just so painful. And then they got over it. And that was really helpful to hear because it was true. I got over it, really got over it in about 36 hours. The first couple of days, it was horrible looking at her empty bed. That was horrible. I got over that pretty fast. I actually ended up feeling better than I had, I think, in a long time. I had been dreading it for so long. Then it was just, it happened. and I didn't have to dread it anymore. And then it was, okay, this isn't so bad. It's okay. And then I felt kind of the way I had felt years before, like, oh, life is good again.
For the last 18 years, you define yourself in large part as a mother. But you had a lot of years before you were anybody's mother. Does it sometimes surprise you how essential that role is to your definition of yourself?
Yeah, it's a very strange thing that there's this hole that you don't even know is there until you fill it. And then you realize that the hole was there. I'm not sure of a better way to put it. I mean, I didn't know. I didn't feel like my life was empty or that I was missing something. And then she came along and then it was like, how did we ever exist without being parents? This is one of the great joys of life when Molly came into our lives.
You have a line in the song about telling your mother you wanted to sing, and she said, don't be a fool for these little girl dreams. And so you packed your things and left. Is there some true story there?
Yeah. I mean, those are not her exact words, but absolutely, that is pretty true. You know, I can say all this now because she's gone, and I don't blame her because I think she was in her own way trying to protect me. But when I told her, I don't know how old I was. I'm guessing I was about 17, and I had started to sing at my high school, and I was getting really, really good reactions from people. And I said, I want to be a singer. And I just, that I do remember what she said. She said, Lucy, you have a nice voice, and that's all. So the idea was, this is not going to work out for you. You do not have the talent. Did I leave the next day? No, but I left maybe a year later to be a singer. So that really is true.
She was wrong, but you did take a detour, didn't you? Work as a clinical psychologist?
Yeah, but well, that wasn't because of what she said to me. That was deeper, deeper neuroses. Now, where did the neuroses come from? Partly from things like that that she said to me, which is that things are not going to work out, and which is the way she felt in general. She was a very, very pessimistic, kind of worried. And she grew up in the Depression. She grew up poor. World War II. It was a different world. So I don't blame her for that. I spent years in my own psychotherapy, so I got it pretty figured out. But I'm going to just sum it up, which is that I couldn't let myself have what I really wanted. Why is that? Lots of reasons. My parents' discouragement, lots of reasons. It was actually going really well. I was 21 and I was getting real serious accolades, including the New York Times. And I kind of freaked out and I couldn't handle it. And I decided I was going to quit. So I decided I was going to be a therapist because I was in therapy and I thought it was interesting, which it is. And I quit and I went back to school. That was just purely, I was afraid and I didn't know I was afraid. And then I started with a new therapist a few years later when I'd finished graduate school. So I was Dr. Kaplansky at that point. I realized with his help that I was actually running away from the thing I wanted out of this unconscious fear. And then it wasn't unconscious anymore and I couldn't run away anymore because then I had to face it. Oh, you really do want this. You're going to have to do it. And I went back to it.
And it was easy to get right back into it?
No. No. So I was a psychologist at that point. I did have, long story, Sean Colvin and I had made an album. She wanted to produce an album. So this is when I was in grad school. So we made an album, me singing, her producing. And then I got out of grad school, had this huge revelation, and I had an album that was produced by Sean Colvin that I hadn't really done anything with. And that helped a lot. So was it easy? Not at all. And it was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. But I did have a bit of an entree back in because I had an album that people really thought was good. And then I worked my way up the slope gradually and got to be a better performer and learned to write songs. And it all kind of worked out, but it was not easy at all.
You've written about Molly since she was a baby. She's never said, could you not write about me?
She's never said, don't write about me. She doesn't like to listen, generally speaking, to the songs about her, which is fine. She has made me edit a couple of moments in a couple of songs that are about her. I don't know that it makes her uncomfortable. She just doesn't want to listen to it. I did a show with John Gorka, Cliff Eberhardt, and Patty Larkin in New York in February. And I sang that song, Last Days of Summer. And Molly was there with her friend. And her friend really loved the song. And I think Molly was kind of proud. Like, oh, yeah, my mom wrote that about me. But if it's just her, she doesn't want to hear it. But no, she's okay with the whole thing. If she weren't, I would respect that. I definitely would respect that.
Last days of summer are coming on fast. Was hoping August wouldn't end, but never lasts. She's filling boxes with blankets, books, and clothes. No longer a child, unafraid, ready to go. It's been 18 years since we fixed up that empty room. Hell, yellow walls, pretty white crib, she'd be lying there soon. Then a bigger bed, games of pretending, books and friends. Come September, gonna be empty again. After 18 years, how can it be just 1 week more to carry those boxes to her new room on the 7th floor? Across from the park where she played pretend and climbed and dreamed, where she flew high on the swings. Now she's gonna fly on her own wings, no longer pretending brand new dreams. I remember the day I told my mom don't be a fool for a little girl dream. So I packed my things, looked back once, never did again. Afraid and defiant, was just 18 then. And I know she'll come back, but never always again. It's just as it should be and how it's ever been. That I'll miss that girl in her room, safe and mine. Life is a circle strewn with goodbyes. After 18 years, how can it be just 1 week more till we carry those boxes to her new room on the 7th floor? Across from the park where she played pretend and climbed and dreamed, she flew high on the swings. Now she's gonna fly on her own wings, no longer pretending with her very own dreams. Just down the street and a million miles away. Hope her bed is soft enough. Hope at night she's not afraid. And I hope her friends will be caring and kind. She's gonna make her choices just as I made mine. Last days of summer are coming on fast. Was hoping August wouldn't end, but it never lasts. Come September we'll be two, no back where we started, back around that circle, darling, you and me.
Lizzie Kaplansky, title song from Last Days of Summer.